Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello. Sorry, that was a rather strange hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of Spin the Rally Pod from your favourite website, dirtfish.com. I am David Evans, and you may have noticed we don't have Lisa this week because this is being recorded in the Dirtfish hire car. I'm here with Colin Clark, who is the malfunctioning voice of Rally this weekend. Col, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, David. Not too bad at all, but you're quite right. I don't know quite what's happened, and if you were... You're following dirtfish.com this week for the videos and all the rest. A little lacking, because my voice has been a little lacking. But as long as you're gentle with me, I might be able to just about survive the podcast.
No promises, Colin. Genuinely no promises. In all seriousness, it has been. It's been quite a struggle this weekend. We've had a little bit of illness in the camp. Cole's voice has forced me to do a bit more talking than I'm usually comfortable with.
You did a good job, David.
Thanks, you did all the
interviews. The only problem was you've got absolutely zero microphone discipline.
Well, who knew that microphone discipline was a thing?
And it doesn't matter how many times I offer you a little bit of advice. You just don't listen to me.
Why would I take advice from you? I'm not being funny, but I'm asking the same question. I seriously outrank you in the company. Do you have any idea where we're going? We've been here for like 2 weeks or something.
I know exactly where we're going.
We never seem to have gone back to our hotel.
Why are you questioning my navigation skills?
I have no idea. Actually, I do defer to you in that one.
That's your hotel, by the way.
Thanks very much. It's been a toughie. We always knew when we came into this event that it was going to be a real tough one in terms of the conditions, and we felt a bit of that ourselves. You know, I cannot tell you how excited Colin Clark has been getting every time the temperature on the car has gone up, the outside temperature. And we peaked yesterday at 45 degrees.
Well, David, I'm the one that's a bit of a drama queen and exaggerates a little. It was 43.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, 43.
Okay, 40. Well, in fairness, it's still quite hot.
That's hot. And do you know what? Today is cool and it's 28 degrees. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's been a tough one. Yeah. But, you know, how come we've got this far in? We've had our own dramas, but actually the primary driver and the primary reason for this podcast has to be to say a massive congratulations to
how big is that?
It's beyond huge. It's enormous. Congratulations to Oit Tanak, Martin Yarvioia and the whole Hyundai Motorsport team. What a fantastic result for them. You know, we get on with Oit. We like Oit and Martin. We like the Hyundai team. It makes such a difference. It means so much. Mm. You know, that team, that driver, that crew, they have been through the ringer. They've been through a heck of a hard time since Monty. You know, to see that boy coming in this afternoon was just an absolute treat, wasn't it?
It really was. It really was an absolute treat because, do you know what? We went out for that long day on Saturday. You know, Oit looked really good on the Friday. And we went out for the long day on the Saturday. And, you know, you'd have got very, very long odds on Oit's car getting through that day without any trouble, based on what we've seen so far in the championship. And as you say, the turnaround, the transformation. I have to go a little quick here, David. I've been a bit brave with that, putting out in front of that car.
Well, you're not looking at my hand signals that meant clearly,
no,
stop.
I thought you were agreeing with me. The point I was making, no, it is quite, as you say, remarkable. Not just remarkable, it's remarkable for the whole team. And you know what, Julian Monse, such a nice guy. He's done a great job. He's done a great job in getting that team pulling together in the right direction.
Yeah.
And there's still massive amounts of work to do, David.
And I think, you know, you've been a bit keen there. I think there's still work to do on the car, and there's still work to do, hearts and minds, perhaps in the team a little bit as well. They do need to come together. This is something that Thierry was talking about. Look out for that story on dirtfish.com this week, that Thierry feels that there are still sort of disparate elements within the team, within the heads of department. They're not all working cohesively together.
He was quite not outspoken, but he was quite explicit about that, wasn't he?
He wasn't holding back at all. No, absolutely. But Julian himself has said, we have still got work to do, and they have.
Yeah, no question.
And absolutely, you know, they've benefited from some issues with the Toyota team. You know, we've saw Elvin Evans, who was in perhaps the best position of all of the Toyotas. He had a pretty sad Friday morning, didn't he, when he hit that compression. Was it not a compression?
It was a cut, which really damaged
the bottom of the car.
Yeah.
And from there on, the team was really a little bit on the back foot. Esa Pekka Lappi, again, leading on Friday afternoon, but difficult Saturday morning, went off the road on that Tempio stage. You couldn't expect a huge amount from Kelle. I know we talked pre-event about how much this boy could do and what he could achieve, and we saw what he achieved in Portugal, and could we expect more of that? Maybe we could. Realistically, simple physics dictates that we couldn't. You know, there's that car, regardless of how soft the tyre is, regardless of how much mechanical grip there is in the car, there is only so much it can do. And it was really, really loose in places. And he paid the price. And what, for me, the impressive bit with Kelle is that he kept his head. And he did his job that he knew he could do, but there's no doubt it was a magnificent effort from Oit and Hyundai's. One thing that you said there, Cole, we've got to pick up on is that nobody really gave much of a chance coming through that Saturday. You talked to Julian on the Friday night. Everybody was crossing everything for them to get through that Saturday. It was the longest day in the championship, the hottest, the hardest. The most difficult day, and they seem to have come through pretty much unscathed. They did a really good job. And talking to Oit on Saturday night, and to Julian as well, that I can't imagine there was much on that car that they didn't change, that they were allowed to change, just to be ready for Sunday. Obviously not. There was 35 kilometres or something like that today. It wasn't a big day at all, but they knew.
That was a big curve, though, wasn't it?
That was a big curve, yeah. Colin, we finally found a parking space.
Oh, no, that's not a pedestrian.
I can't get out here now. This is right. Ridiculous. People who live in number five, street is.
That's why there's nobody parked here,
they
David. We're outside their door. It was you that directed me here.
That's not ideal.
No, we'll have to find somewhere else.
And unfortunately, because we are recording the podcast in the car, we've decided to turn the air conditioning off.
Oh, my God, it's awfully hot.
The inside of the car is now starting to steam up.
It is.
It's so hot.
It is. Yeah, you know what? As you say, you know, there wasn't much of a chance given to these boys on Saturday, but they did do a great job. And it's, you want someone like Oit behind the wheel at times like that. You have an opportunity, and he's a guy that's been around the block many times. He's seen highs, he's seen enormous lows. He knows. He's an intelligent driver, and it needed some intelligent driving on Saturday. You know, he's not pushing that car beyond its limits. He's not trying to win every stage, although he did win a lot of them.
But it was very intelligent driving, Colin.
Really,
but it was also incredibly quick driving.
No, and this is what he said, didn't he? He said to you, I think, at the end of the rally, or at the end of Saturday, he said, you know, I wasn't pushing hard, but I was enjoying it, and it came to me, and the times came.
And it all felt natural for him.
He did a great job.
A fantastic job.
Right, we're getting out of the car now.
And I can't tell you, actually, right now, I would quite happily jump in the harbour with him.
Yes, would I.
And the whole team.
Yeah, that's one of the traditions here, isn't it? That the winning driver and his team jump in the harbour.
I suspect anybody wearing anything remotely Hyundai liveried will be jumping in that harbour.
But Mr. Monset has a brand new pair of trainers, and he's been, you know, told that maybe the trainer should go off before he goes into the harbour.
Trainer's off and phone out in the pocket.
Is there enough space there, do you think?
Yeah, there's plenty of
space there. That man, I need a key to get into the apartment, David.
You might need that. And looking past there, you know, the next team inevitably that we need to talk about is M Sport Ford. Actually, let's deal with Hyundai first, shall we? The rest of Hyundai. Thierry Neuville.
I'm not sure. It was a very, very aggressive strategy. We talked about Oit Tanak's Saturday strategy, and it was very much to, you know, to see what happens, to see what you can get with the car, to look after the car. Neuville had a massively aggressive strategy. He went out with one spare tyre, and he was desperate to make up places. You know, we've seen that in recent rallies, particularly heading back to where were we? Croatia.
Yeah.
You know, it's paid off. He's written his luck.
It's been, I was going to say, it's been fairly yeah. leery at yeah, times, but he has. He's ridden his luck.
But he didn't get away with it. Didn't get away with it this time. And that's the law of averages, David. You cannot drive that way. Yep. You cannot drive that. Mr. Davis.
Hello.
David's being paparazzi.
We love your results.
Nice to see you, Mr. Greek guy.
Can you pause?
We can't pause anything, David. We're in the middle of it. We can't.
We can't.
Just
say hello and tell us who you are.
Hello. I'm Tolis from EWRC Results website.
Oh,
we follow
good.
Every rally from all over the world.
So, and obviously we know that Dirtfish and EWRC have just joined forces. This is the first time we have spoken on Zoom calls. This is the first moment I've had to actually say hello. So a huge hello. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A huge congratulations. Lovely to meet you. Yes. And what a great job you're doing.
Thank you.
And I'm really sorry. Because we're in the podcast.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Not at all, but you've just made your debut in the podcast, so it's great.
David Evans, it's lovely to see you. As David mentioned, there, our friends from EWRC. I talked about microphone discipline earlier on. David has clipped his microphone, and he clipped it about halfway down his chest.
Right, no, I'll move it. I'll move it. That's better.
That so, Jeremy Bill, a little bit gung-ho.
Like you say, Colin, just this time it caught him out.
But there's a time and a place for gung-ho, David. I'm not sure that position, he had a lot to do.
For me, Thierry said it himself, you know, his mindset is that of an absolute dogfighter. You know, he's coming out, everything's against him.
He's a dogfighter, picks his fights.
No,
picks
he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
he goes absolutely flat into everything. That's the very nature of a dogfighter, you know, and a dogfight. You have to. You can't.
Dogfight is down and dirty.
Have you not watched Top Gun?
It's down and dirty.
Have you not watched Top Gun?
It's down and dirty.
No, in Top Gun,
you
can't pick your fight in a dogfight. You know, you're in there and you just give it absolutely everything. That's where he is right now. He is. He's Maverick.
They crash and burn, mate. That's what happens when you take that attitude into a dogfight.
Yeah, it was a shame, and I can completely see your point that it was difficult because there wasn't.
Honestly, here's my view on that one, David. Here's my view. You know, it was. Without any question, it was well signposted as perhaps the most difficult, arduous day of the year. It was not a day
to
throw caution to the wind. No. That's my only point.
That's a very good point.
I'm not knocking Thierry. Thierry is the man that gets 110%.
That he's brought results to the team all the way through this season so far, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And he's been the one that's held that team up.
Yeah.
You know, not just this season, last season, the season before.
And he'll continue to do that moving forward without a shadow of a doubt.
Now, just to let you know, folks, where we are, David is staying in rather a plush hotel. Myself and the junior are staying in a nice apartment. So I'm just... This is the first time David's seen our apartment. It's a very lovely, old, traditional Alghero apartment block. What do you make of it, David?
Echoey.
It is a bit echoey. Yeah, apologies for that.
Are there any more stairs?
There's quite a few stairs, but David's an athlete. He really is an athlete.
Clearly, there's not a lift in this place.
There's no lift. No.
Was this built before lifts came into fashion?
When you're carrying my bags downstairs, David, then you'll be asking, where's the lift?
So Danny Sordo.
Oh, magnificent.
I kept trying to tell him that he was fantastic, magnificent. He didn't seem to agree at all, did he?
We didn't, but you didn't sound very sincere. That's the problem.
I'm all about the sincerity, and genuinely, I thought he did a tremendous job.
Yeah.
You know, podium in Portugal last time out, and back to the podium again this time. It was a...
Can I offer you some... Sure, zero. It's got no calories. It's athlete's version.
No, that's exactly the reason I don't want any.
Some two-day-old pizza in the fridge. Would you like some of that?
Very good, thanks, Colm.
There's a bit of salad there. It looks really quite yucky.
That's been way more than all you.
How about a bit of cake on the table?
Let's keep talking, shall we? I'm sure that our friend Matthew in Finland doesn't want to be hearing about the cake in your apartment. Yeah. Sordo, really strong again.
Really
as usual, he can be. He's a man that can be relied upon to bring points home. That's exactly what he's done. And I asked him at the end of the day today.
Yeah.
We all want to see Oliver Solberg in the car. We want to see him doing what Toyota has done with Tacker to bring him continually.
He's the future.
He is the future, of course he is. But also, no thanks, mate. Sorry, I was being offered the zero thing again. the team needs points.
Mm.
They need points if they have any aspirations. And this is not to say that Oliver Solberg can't bring points, but when you've got...
Four cars...
Wait, exactly, it's got to be that way.
It's got to be, David, because what Hyundai have done here with this first and third, with an M Sport car in second, is, you know, they've still got a long way to go, but they have hauled themselves back into the Manufacturers' Championship. Now,
yeah.
In some ways, the fact that Tanak and Neuville are more or less out of the Drivers' Championship, now Neuville wouldn't agree, maybe Tanak wouldn't agree after this result, but that may help them in the quest for the Manufacturers. And I totally agree with you. I think if they are being realistic about putting in a challenge this year, which you usually get a good result in Kenya, and it's right back on again, then they have to seriously think about that third car and how they utilize it.
More pertinently.
Yeah, the fourth
car. They've got three, they need four. I think you're right. And Danny's a driver that we've seen year on year on year. You know, he's built his career on being at the finish.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what Hyundai needs.
But I don't think they have to think about that for a few rallies. I think, you know, you've got, obviously, we've got Safari coming up. We then have a couple of rallies that Danny wouldn't want to do. He certainly wouldn't want to do Finland, and he probably wouldn't want to do Estonia. They're the kind of rallies he doesn't particularly enjoy.
But he can still be there at the finish. But I think, you know, more pertinently, we've got Safari coming up, where you 100% would want four cars. We know it is a budget thing for Hyundai. They don't have the cash to field four cars this year. Mm. And we'll see. Maybe they can find some money towards the second half of the season and bring that together. It's a strategy, surely, if they're in the fight for the Manufacturers' Championship, they will have to.
Yeah, I agree.
To consider it. So now let's move on to M Sport and Craig Breen. Really, podium in Monte, good, but then, you know, mistake in Sweden is a mistake in Sweden. It can happen to anybody. And then Croatia, Portugal in the doldrums, absolutely bounced back here with a speedy and sensible drive.
It was very impressive. You know, there was definitely something missing with Breen. He wasn't happy to admit it. He wasn't willing to admit it. I talked to him before the rally. And no, he wasn't. There was nothing missing. No, it's just taking time. But there was something that wasn't quite right. And I'm not entirely sure that Breen is quite at the kind of level he wants to be at yet. But it was a massive, massive step in the right direction. It wasn't going backwards. It wasn't even standing still. It moved forwards this weekend for Craig Breen. And, you know, he knows how good that car is. And that car, again, this weekend looks absolutely sensational. It looks sensational. You know, you ask, without allegiances to teams, any driver, you know, which car they would choose for the Safari Rally, if they had a free choice, I'm pretty sure they'd all choose the Puma.
Yeah.
It is a sensational car. Breen has made step forward. I don't think the car's made any steps forward. I think the car's been great in all of those rallies you mentioned that Breen misfired in. But he's looking better.
I'm not sure. Better. Sometimes we are guilty of this, Cole. We've talked about this in recent podcasts, that we build people up and we put all of these caveats kind of around them, that he's not done Portugal for a good few years. He's not done Sardinia. He's not done slow rallies. And then they come and he struggled in Portugal and we jumped up and down and said, oh, that's not good enough. It's not good enough, but we knew that he was going to struggle a little bit with pace. And yeah, you can say, I know you're thinking this, Sebastian Loeb came back to whatever rally and did marvellous things. He's a different driver. Craig, we've known throughout his career, takes time to build.
Take small steps. It's incremental steps. Yeah. Micro steps.
I'm not sure we'd say micro steps, but they're not big leaps that you see. And you don't get those enormous spikes of performances. No. But we knew coming here, these two rallies, these three rallies, Safari as well, were tricky for him because, like he said, you know, he's been used to a car that's been in fifth and sixth gear on the gravel.
Yeah,
firstly, he's only got five gears this year. And secondly, he's doing rallies that he hasn't done for a long time in conditions that he hasn't seen for a long time. He's not driven. He's not had to drive a rally like Sardinia.
They've had to stop you. I'm not buying this. I'm genuinely not buying it. I'm not buying it because we have seen Loubet outperforming him.
He's a different driver.
We have seen Formeau in stages outperforming him. Drivers with no experience.
We should judge this at the end of the year, Colin.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Disputing that, but there's reasons, and we put those reasons around Craig's performance before, and we now can't suddenly disregard them.
Oh, no, I'm not disregarding anything. I think that even with those reasons, with the package that Craig's had, it's been an underwhelming start to the year. With the package he's got, taking into account
it's been underwhelming.
Until
here. I think we judge this at the end of the year. Let's let him take those steps.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been. Of course it has. But we can't We gave reason why it might be underwhelming, so we then can't be surprised. Oh, it's underwhelming.
You're not giving reason why.
We said before, we said we knew that Craig might be underwhelming here, here and here because he's for reasons X, Y and Z. And then when he is underwhelming, we then castigate him for being underwhelming.
There are reasons why he might not give us maximum performance, but you need to then factor in the positives, and the which are that, you know, he has a brilliant gutter. And we're seeing that with Lupe. Lupe is a driver who has shown nothing. Yeah. Nothing in the past. In fact, Lupe is a driver who this time last year was on the verge of quitting the sport. He did okay in an R5 car, didn't stand out in an R5 car. He's got into this World Rally car, and he has been nothing short of sensational at times.
Yeah.
So
there are times, though, Colin. I look at driver development in black and white. I look at Colin McRae and Richard Burns, two drivers that you could not get a bigger polar opposite.
Totally.
Colin was to the limit, over the limit, or over the limit, find out where that limit was, and then come back. Burnsy was build, find the limit. There were times that you would have looked at a performance from Richard and said, that was underwhelming. That's not good enough. Yeah. Worked out fine for him.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that this is what we're going to see from Craig for the rest of the year at all. But what I'm saying is it's disappointed me a touch. It has disappointed me a touch. I did expect a little bit more, even taking into consideration all of those things you've mentioned. I did expect a little bit more from him. We haven't seen it until this weekend. And, OK, we're still early in the season, aren't we?
We are. There's lots of time. It's a new team for here. Oh, let's just move on.
Let's just argue, David. I like to argue.
So you mentioned him there, Lube. Great performance from Pierre-Louis. And, he's building on everything that he's learning really quickly and just demonstrating a real passion for the sport again. We saw last year, it was difficult to talk to him. You know, he saw his head dipped and it was hard. And he has found a home and a car where he feels loved and he feels appreciated and he feels the car is perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he felt any of those. We know that the car that he had last year was not a factory car. It wasn't a factory spec car. It was a couple of steps down. And there's no reflection on 2C, the team that were running him at all. It's the way it was. But he's come to M Sport, as any driver can come to M Sport, pay your money, and you get the same piece of kit as Bree, Greensmith, and Formo, everybody. And that is, for me, it also sends a hugely powerful message to drivers around the world thinking of investing in a Rally One program.
Yeah.
Come to M Sport. You know, you're going to get a rally-winning car, and you're going to get the same level of service as you always have done at M Sport.
And you're going to get a car that isn't going to take you a season to adapt to. You know, these kids have come in to this car, and, you know, with very limited experience at the top level, have just adapted beautifully to it.
A couple of days testing for Pierre-Louis.
Exactly. Yeah. Pierre-Louis has shown some incredible pace, second, third fastest in some stages here. Consistency that he's never shown us before. On the back of enormously limited testing.
Yeah.
His second gravel event. It's a great advert for tenacity. The kids stuck at it, you know. And I remember writing driver ratings for him last year. And the last one I wrote was, look, you know, I hate being hard on youngsters. I hate it, you know. But sometimes they've got to show a bit of honesty. And at the end of last year, he was awful.
Mm.
Now, you've quite rightly said there may have been reasons for that, but he was trying too hard, he was making too many silly mistakes, really silly mistakes, but was he trying too hard? Was he feeling unloved, unwanted, unappreciated? Mm. I don't know. But, you know, what we're seeing here is that he can get into that Puma, and who knows what he can do? You talked to him today, you know, he's coming into a runner rallies, he's missing Safari, but then we go to Estonia, we go to Finland, we go to Ypres, rallies that he enjoys and that he knows. Who knows what he can do? Can he put himself on the podium? Why not? It might take a set of circumstances, but why not?
And this is the really clever part about him, is that we tried to tempt him. Come on, you're going to get a podium on one of those 3 hours. He wasn't interested. It was all about just more time settling in, increasing his performance slowly or quickly, and actually not chasing the result.
Correct.
Just doing what he's doing.
Not chasing anything.
No, just feeling comfortable.
And do you know, I suspect, we saw this with Tanak, when Tanak took his year and a half out. It was at least that, wasn't it, he took out? Way back, can't remember the exact day now. he spent a lot of that time reassessing things, reassessing his approach, reassessing how he wanted to live his life, reassessing how he wanted his career to progress, reassessing how he would develop his career, you know, and maybe if you're reassessing, you're admitting that maybe the way you did in the past was wrong. And I suspect that Pierre-Louis, in the time he took off at the end of last year, he maybe went through a similar process, where he sat back, you know, he's from Corsica, sat on that beautiful island, and thought, what's gone wrong? You know, why has it gone so badly wrong? What am I doing that's contributing to this, and how can I change that? I suspect a bit of that's gone on, because it didn't get... I think it is, David, because he's so laid back.
But we brought all of that to him earlier this year, and he said, my approach hasn't changed. I've just found comfort, I've just found... And he's been very clear on that his approach is exactly the same as it was with the Hyundai. He's just found a car that suits him. So, moving on, Gus Greensmith.
Bad weekend.
Tricky one for Gus. It really was. Obviously, an issue on Friday that cost him some time.
He had that kind of... He went off and got stuck, didn't he, and the car wouldn't start.
So it was an odd one, wasn't it? It was just he was continually trying. He lost about a minute and a half.
And you can blame maybe the hybrid system, but it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't gone off and made a mistake. That's quite clear. Yeah.
We don't know exactly what the cause was,
but he just never got into it, did he, David? And I suspect again, you know, Gus had a great start to the year, was looking good, was looking comfortable, was looking to make progress, and it's stalled. And he's watching the others. He's watching. Okay, maybe not for more, but he's watching Roubaix doing well.
I'm not sure it's stalled. I think, again, we've got to be sensible that on a day like Saturday was a tough day. You know, we've talked about Thierry. What on earth was Thierry doing jumping in and re-engaging in a big fight? If Gus had done that and gone off, we'd have then been critical of him there. He dropped a minute and a half. What he did was actually quite sensible, and just keep the car in the middle of the road, do as much as he can to learn. So he took the car in different directions and learnt plenty. That's going to benefit him in Safari moving forward. If he clearly wasn't feeling comfortable with the car. If he'd chased performance, he probably would have gone off. So he then loses seat time.
I'm not sure what's more important in those situations. I agree with you. I think the time, you know, he's tried some different, we believe, damper settings, hasn't he? It's dampers, not just settings, ahead of Safari. You know, if that does then set him up nicely for Safari, it'll be time well spent. For me, it's always, well, what do you do as a driver? You've had a bad start to the rally. Do you want to push, and do you want to find a little bit of confidence? Do you want to find a bit, again, self-belief? Or do you, as you say, want to use that time productively and maybe if possible, do a bit of testing?
Use it productively. Gus is in a position where he knows he's in that car for at least the rest of this year.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not chasing. He's absolutely not chasing a result to keep his seat. For me, it was a sensible one.
Yeah, okay. We'll disagree on that one as well, then. I've not agreed on anything yet. No, listen, I don't think he had a good weekend. I think he looked...
He didn't have a good weekend, but he potentially had a productive weekend when he, you know, and it wasn't a time to risk all.
For sure.
I think we've agreed that I'm right on that one. And just moving forward now on to...
Did we?
to Adrian Formo.
I feel for him.
I feel for him now. It's, you know, he was driving the perfect rally exactly like he was in Portugal, and he was caught out. It was a silly mistake. These things happen. It was a high-pressure situation. When you're told categorically from Malcolm Wilson and from Richard Milner, you will finish. You know, that's, of course, the one thing you do is you finish. But that brings a pressure, because if you slow the car right down, these cars are not designed to be driven at those kind of speeds. They simply don't work. You know, okay, they were even worse when we had fully active cars. But none of it feels natural. And he was a little bit distracted. And you can say he shouldn't have been distracted. He's working at an elite level. That's all fine. It was 60-odd degrees in the car. You know, we've got to cut the boy some slack.
I agree. You know...
Let's move on then. We've agreed.
No. I just to reiterate the point you're making. You know, he's saying that his concentration went, and that was one of the big worries about that afternoon. Right. Remember, it was late in the afternoon. I think it was the final stage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, temperatures were at the max. They'd been all day. And he had talked about it beforehand, about, you know, in Portugal, he felt dizzy at the stage ends. And he was worried about it. Mm. And it is very possible that he just had a momentary lapse in concentration and that's why he made the mistake. But it's an impossibly difficult situation he finds himself in. You know, he wants to, and he was going quicker and he was sitting in a nice position. And the accusation against him is that he could see Kalle Rovanperä coming out quickly in his rear view mirror.
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
Not, I'm saying this is the accusation.
Yeah, but I
don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't think he's that silly.
He's not. He's hugely intelligent. He's way more intelligent.
I think
than
at times, he's quite impatient.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between impatience and silliness, clearly. And I don't think a charging Rovanperä would have elicited a response from him.
He's understood that he's got to be patient Portugal and here.
I'm going to go with the fact that he was affected by the heat, and that was that. But not an easy one to come back from.
No. And time is marching on.
You sure you don't want any tea?
No, definitely don't want any of that tea. Time is marching on. We've talked a little bit about Toyota. We spent a long time talking with Tom Fowler today, technical director at Toyota. There is plenty coming on the website with Tom. Lots of really interesting insight into the heat, the way these cars have worked with the heat through this really difficult event. A tricky event for Toyota, we can agree on that. It's one that I'm sure they will bounce back. They won Safari last year. They will be going there. Absolutely chasing another victory. But I am ready to wrap up, Cole, but I think one thing that I do just want to say before we go is there are three people who get absolutely no appreciation for the jobs that they do. Three people have kept this rally on the road this weekend, and that is Willy Verhoeven, Mick the Chef, and Tank. So that's Willy Verhoeven is obviously the driver's friend. I don't know, what do we call them?
They're
driver's friend.
Driver's friend.
Driver's and co-driver's
friend. I'm going to think of it while you're talking.
There's, I'm sure, crew conservation has been on this event.
These are
the guys that they've been out all around the route, obviously only where they're allowed to go, and they've provided drinks, they've provided cold towels, they've provided everything to keep people alive,
yes.
Ultimately.
And we had a very good demonstration of how necessary that was when our Australian friend, Lupinier didn't get that kind of service and said he was close to heat exhaustion.
No, he was close to collapsing cold. So
he's a big fit lad.
Yeah, he's a very fit lad. He didn't, you know, for some whatever reason, his team didn't. You know, every team was given the same opportunity.
Yeah.
So good Lord alone knows why Luke didn't get this, the provisions that were 100% necessary. And like, this heat was not a surprise. Oof. Everybody knew this heat was coming. So that was a big fail for Luke's team.
Yeah. And he had to go and knock on a door, didn't he?
He went and knocked on a Sardinian farmer's door and got some water. But yeah, those three guys, just what an exceptional job. We've been out, we were in Paduzzo and everywhere watching them. You know, Mick was unbelievable, just running up and down, giving towels to everybody. And they've done a great job. They've kept everybody not cool. They've kept everybody slightly below boiling point.
Kept them alive.
And yeah, so great job. And Sardinia, once again, has provided us with a fascinating event. So we say thank you, Sardinia. We've got to end this now because Colin's got to take a shower before we go to the airport. And there is no way I am following him into the shower to continue recording his podcast.
I'm quite happy to continue, but for some reason.
Absolutely not. So thank
you
very
much. By the way, of my little apartment.
It's a fabulous apartment.
So
yeah, you've definitely got the bigger straw, longer straw. I've got a shorter straw, I think, this time. It's great. So, people, thank you very much for listening. And we look forward to talking to you next week. And in between times, there is a heap of stuff coming on dirtfish.com. Obviously, if it's results analysis you want to look for, go to ewrc-results.com. You will find everything, every nut and bolt from this event there, and the analysis. Come to dirtfish.com, and we will talk to you again next week.
And hopefully by then, David, my voice will be back.
Or it will have gone completely.
You've loved the fact that my voice is gone this week, haven't you? You've loved it.
It's been very quiet.
Yeah,
you've no idea how lovely that's been at times.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.